This is Dave and Chuck the Freak's Tasty Bits Podcast.
Every year they put out a list of vanity plates that people have requested that they've had to deny. Because, you know, people try and push the boundaries and get all sorts of things passed. This year, in Ohio alone, they denied over 1,000 plates that were deemed too risque for the road. Here are some of the ones they shared. I'm sure there's filthier ones they didn't share. I'll say that. Nutsack with a Z. Nutsack.
Come on, why can't you have that?
It's just a guy named Zach who's nuts.
Yeah, he's just crazy Zach.
Yeah. You
know? Nutsack. Denied. Boob 33. I don't know what that the significance of that is.
It's like a booby.
Is it just that the threes look like boobs when you put them beside you?
Oh, yeah. That's
very, right?
Yeah.
That's
so
creative,
it's like
man.
Boob, yeah. More boobs?
Yeah.
A turd pro was turned down.
I was heartbroken.
I know you were.
I'm like,
I hope to get that Ohio license plate.
I submitted all my credentials to prove that I am, in fact, a turd pro.
Yes.
And they said no.
Turns out it's like a gastroenterologist or something. Can you imagine if it was like a doctor with a sense of humor?
Yeah.
Who specializes in...
I think they do. I think doctors do have... They got a lot of those vanity plates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there's one that
Okay. Would you go get a colonoscopy from a guy with the license plate turd pro?
Mm. He's got to be the best.
I think so. I think he's cocky.
Confident.
Yeah,
I'm with Lisa.
He's confident.
If I see turd pros BMW, I'm like,
gotta go.
I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't decided yet in life whether or not I like jokey doctors or not.
Yeah, it's a weird.
Because sometimes I like it because it like takes your anxiety of being at the doctor's office away. But then other times you're like, now's not the time for jokes.
Well, that's it. You know? Like you hear all those guys.
Depends.
And honestly, we get a bunch of emails from guys that are getting prostate exams. And the doctor makes a joke.
Mm.
And they legitimately make, the old, that's not my hand. Whatever.
Right.
I don't know. If I was in that situation, if I'd be like, huh? Or... Excuse me?
I think it's fine to make the occasional joke. It's just not, but once something serious.
Oh.
Like it can't be jokey
like
times.
If he feels something in there.
Right. Or, but also, if you're just joking, and then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I'm going to have to get that looked at because I don't know exactly. Like you go, that's the problem.
Right.
If you're jokester all the time and then all of a sudden you're serious,
serious
all of a sudden.
Extra scary.
I'm like, wait a second. You know, like what's going on?
Yeah.
But I can understand a guy who's about to put his fist in you.
Fist? Jesus, where do you go?
I mean, you got to break the ice somehow, right?
Exactly.
Dr. Fister.
You know?
You got to
do something.
I'm going to fist you.
Oh, my God.
You don't want to hear that.
No, you don't.
No.
You sure don't.
Where's the fist
going to
go?
Yeah,
you
know I don't know. I guess I just prefer professional all the way.
Yeah.
You know, just.
I mean, I do like, being able, like, in certain situations, like, that I have a jokey doctor, but I don't know. Like sometimes I'm like, be serious, man.
But listen, like I've had doctors for different heart stuff and other things, and I've had people that have worked underneath them say like, hey, no, go, different guy. I'm like, oh, interesting. Why? It's just terrible bedside manner, like just breaking news to people in like terrible ways, and just like compassionless. On some, I need a doctor to have at least some compassion.
Yeah.
They can't have it
heartless.
But I understand doing what you do, some people, that's how they handle it.
They know.
The psychology of being a doctor has got to be insane. Like, how you deal with every day having to tell somebody probably stuff like that. Like, your loved one just died.
Because to us, they seem heartless, but to them, they probably have to detach themselves.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Right?
So it's in order to
deal mentally with that day to day.
And it's like the third family, they probably have had to say something like that too.
Yes.
Right. That's got to take a toll.
Because you might be very, very good at your job as a doctor, but you may not be very good at dealing with life.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, right? Like, so to use that part of your brain that makes you good at being a doctor and being able to retain all that information and being that organized and everything, you might lose on the other side where you have, like, your sense of humor, your compassion, the other parts of humanity.
I didn't even tell you guys about this. I completely forgot. But before the holidays, I had a physical.
Okay.
And I had a female doctor. So the place I go...
Do you get different doctors all the time?
It's if the guy's not around, you can get one of his associates.
Oh, okay.
Right? And so they called me and they said, hey, we found out he's going to be in surgery. Do you still want to come in? And I just wanted to get it over with. I'm like, sure. I didn't know until I got there it would be a female doctor. Not that that's a big deal.
Right.
But I was like, oh, okay. She was incredibly thorough, which is great.
Not bad.
Which is great. But
she liked what you saw.
You guys remember, this is embarrassing, but... Several years ago, I had an issue with my testicles where there was like a vein or something that was kind of twisted a bit.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, better check it out, though, Lee.
She says that can reoccur. And she went through my whole history and, like, let's do an exam just to make sure that everything's good.
Sure.
I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah, every nook and cranny of Dave Hunter.
I wasn't prepared for a general exam today, but...
The pubes were in. The pubes were in, huh?
No, I was okay. But I just wasn't, like... You know, mentally, I wasn't expecting it. But it weird, because that's the time we're in, she had to call another guy into the room to witness
it. Don't you go to, like, a specialist for that?
No.
I mean, I wouldn't think that that would be in a physical.
No, like, I have mine today, and I pretty much know I'm going to have my balls handled.
When my husband goes to the doctor, like, none of this stuff happens. I don't know what you guys do.
For a regular
but he,
like
just
a,
trust me, it doesn't physical? Happen.
Oh, yearly physical, they always
yearly
check
physical,
your nuts.
Yearly physical, they check your nuts.
They're always talking about it. I learned that the hard way, because I went in without my pubes trimmed once, and the doctor's like,
I don't know.
Drop your drawers, you got to do the testicle check. And I'm like, I wish I would have known that was happening. I would have gave you a trim-up job.
Is anyone else out there that can back me up on this? Because the doctor that we go to doesn't do that.
I get it. It's
he
doesn't.
He does blood work. He does, like, checks all the stuff. He sends him to where he needs to go.
But here's the thing. I have stuff going on, though. So and
with your balls?
Well, not necessarily with my balls, but
just what I do with them.
I go, I mean, I've got that stuff going on. But, like, I have to go to the doctor every 6 months.
Right, I know you have a special condition, though.
But that's what I mean. But once a year in that,
and me,
part of it
she
is
said
my
she
nuts.
Was following up because
for
it
you,
can reoccur.
Like, you should go to a specialist for something like that, I would think.
I don't think so. I think it's just if she thought, oh, there's an issue, I'm going to send you to a specialist. She was just checking to make sure it hadn't reoccurred.
Well, especially depending on where you're
like
going.
Over a decade ago.
No, but they continually check, and I guess it can redevelop.
But did they check last year?
For me?
Yeah.
No.
That's what I'm saying. It's weird.
But anyway, the reason I bring it up is that she had to bring a guy into the room.
That's weird.
To be the weirdest.
Because
of the Me
weird.
Too stuff, I guess, right? And they can't be alone in the room.
Yeah, you're checking some guy's balls.
So now you got double witnesses of your stuff.
Like, it just was so... What do you do, right? My junk's out. I'm like, all right, everyone, come on in. Party time.
Hey, you're Dave Hunter.
Yeah, hey, look, there's my wiener.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
It was.
And especially when you're not prepared for it.
I wasn't prepared, and I probably would have been like, you know what, I'll hold off.
Yeah.
But it just all happened so fast.
It's so hard in that position.
Like,
you're like,
okay.
You
don't want to be the weirdo that's like, no, you can't touch my balls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I get it.
It's a weird position to be in.
I think what I would have done is, like, if I say today, so I'm supposed to go today. Like, if all of a sudden they called me and they were like, hey, your doctor is in surgery, I'd be like, see you in 3 months. Like, rebook it. Like, I only need the one person.
I think Lenny has the only non-ball-touching doctor, Lisa,
really?
According
to
all these texts. Your husband isn't telling you. I promise his balls get fondled.
No, he tells me everything. He's been to a special doctor for all of that stuff.
Right. Every physical, my doctor checks my testicles for abnormal lumps or hernias. They always do. Last physical, female doctor, she did the test for me. Two sons and a husband, they always get their nuts checked at their physicals.
Yeah, when I get a like full physical, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Like last time I hadn't.
Maybe he's not getting a full physical.
My wiener out in a doctor's office. It was crazy because I had just put him away. And, like, I'm, like, getting my pants back up like a whore.
And they're like, no.
And then, like, this hot nurse, like, opens the door while, like, I'm, like, it looks like me and the doctor just finished having sex together. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I mean, they don't give a damn, right? Mm-hmm. And to them, no. That's just what they do. For us, it's the awkward thing. Yeah. You know, we're not in that position every day. But for them, they're in that position every day. It's nothing.
It's just hard to separate the, like, hot nurse. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't look at a hot nurse and be like, you're just a nurse. You know?
Right. Yes. Right. No, and I just need my one doctor. In fact, so my doctor left the old place that he went to. And like now today I'm going to I follow him. Where are you going? Okay. Where? Oh, you're moving? Me too.
I need to find a new doctor because I want the same guy. My guy has just been unavailable. Right? I think he's kind of farmed out his practice now to associates.
The same
I want the same guy every time.
Yeah, that's what I get.
You end up explaining things to people over and over again, and I just want to go to a good doctor and go to the same one all the time. So I got to find that now. That's on my list of things to do.
It's
this
hard
year.
To find a good doctor. It's weird.
Well, that's
like,
just
I found one I like and was like, this is a real game. That's a
I've been with the same one for years, but I don't have a lot of, you know. You go to specialists. I have my main doctor. Right.
I don't
blood.
Keep up on my stuff. I don't do the regular things you're supposed to. I don't do a yearly physical usually.
I do. Yeah. I'm on top of that now. I wasn't for years, and then I realized, what are you doing?
Now it's like, I'm like, you got problems. My back hurts today.
Yeah, maybe my husband's isn't like an official physical. I don't really know. He gets blood work done.
So I do everything. I do twice. EKG. Yeah. They do blood, EKG, urine, and they do hernia. They do like everything, top to bottom. Yeah.
And I go, and because I go twice, one of them will be this yearly physical where I get the terrible stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is all that other jazz where I'm getting blood work. They might lay me down, do EKG and all that stuff. Like,
but they're not doing like the finger thing anymore.
They don't do that anymore.
So you guys are good there.
Yeah. It's because now they can tell through your blood.
Right.
Basically. Pretty at a pretty high percentage or whatever until you're a certain age, I think, and then once you get to a certain age, they might start.
And a lot of people are saying it is now standard procedure if the doctor is the opposite sex of you, they have to have someone else in the room.
Yeah.
So if Lisa was going to a male doctor, a female would have to be present, and vice versa.
Yeah.
If you're being examined.
I don't like that rule.
I don't either. I'd be like,
it was very
if he fondles me, fondles me.
Another setup.
At my main doctor, my privates are never, no privates at my main doctor.
My special doctor, no privates.
I know when I'm what's going on. I know I have a relationship. This is what's happening.
That's true. But I understand you guys have like a private doctor. We don't have a private doctor.
Awful.
So a female, a male gynecologist would have to call a woman in every single time.
Wow, that's crazy because a lot of girls have a
male gynecologist. So they'd have to have a female nurse with them.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I have a female, but.
Yeah. It was just a really odd day. I remember walking out of there and being like,
wow. You didn't tell us that until
I know. I tried to block it out of my memory.
That's awful.
It just came back. Because I wasn't expecting, a thorough nut examination, and two, was not expecting two people. To see my junk that day, but
just put on a show, Dave. It's okay.
Yeah,
surprise.
That's true.
Whatever. It's just a penis. Daniel.
Huge one.
Hi, Daniel. How you doing, man?
The biggest they've seen.
Okay.
Hey, I'm doing good. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. You wanted to chime in on this?
That's flaccid.
Yeah. So I'm a new dad as of recently, and so we went to my wife's 8-week appointment. She went to the OB doctor, and this was all new for me. I've never done this before. So she's laying on the table. And a female doctor comes in, she's young, she's in her 30s, and she starts examining my wife, and she yells out real loud. She goes, "Oh, my God." And of course, we're like, we're thinking the worst. We're like, you're looking down there, and you said that. And she goes, "You have the biggest, cervical polyp, I've ever seen." And we're like, "So what does that mean? Why?" And she's like, she looks over to me, and she says, "Can you feel that when you're having fun with her?" And I'm just like, who says this? Like, who says that?
That's wild. Yeah.
I didn't know what to say. I was speechless because I'm like, so is this bad? Is this good? And then she goes, "We can take it out. But if I take it out, can I have somebody come in and look at it? I've never seen anything like this." And it wasn't in a mean way. It was just, I don't know, man. It was one of those weird situations with a doctor that like you guys were saying, you don't know what to do because you're caught so off guard. It was wild.
How did your wife feel about it?
Well, she didn't know whether she should cry or laugh about it. She was kind of in between because, you know, she didn't know what it was. And once we found out it was kind of like a benign type thing, like a cyst, it was fine. And they took it out. But of course, you know, newly pregnant, and we hear a doctor yell out, "Oh my God." And then we didn't know what was going on.
She didn't handle that well. She's just been like, "That's just a cervical polyp, and we'll take it out." Like,
yeah, I don't know. I felt like there was an easier way to break the ice. But I guess for them, like, they just, you know, they talk like that all the time, so it's nothing. But for us, it was wild. But it was very awkward. It was truly one of the most awkward moments of my life.
I'm sure. But see, and that's where I would be nervous as a doctor to be jokey, because the wrong person hears that and they file a complaint, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Doctor was inappropriate with my wife. You know, so just for your own good, I wouldn't joke around.
Just weird.
It's just an awkward thing.
They don't look at stuff the same like that. They're like, oh my God, that's one for the books.
Yeah.
You know, they're not like, that's connected to a person that's got emotions.
Right. this guy said, my wife has a male urologist, or gynecologist, sorry. And even though I was in the room, he still had to call in a female.
Yeah, they have their assistants or whatever.
And someone texted in, their gynecologist is Dr. Coochie.
Oh, yeah, he always comes up. He always comes up.
Every time there's Dr. Coochie.
You have to be a gynecologist if you're...
Yeah, you have one job.
Dr. Coochie.
What part of medicine are you going into? Well, of course, you know.
My old doctor was Seymour Wiener. But it was pronounced Weiner.
Weiner.
True story, yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
Then he retired. I was like, oh, man, I just got a regular old plain doctor name.
Yeah. by the way, we started talking about this because of inappropriate license plates.
I don't know how we got here.
Doctors,
my ball check. But it was Turd Pro.
Turd Pro gets doctor.
Reminding me how we got
poop doctor.
I like reverse connecting the dots. How did we get here?
I know.
Turd Pro.
It's hard.
By the way, a doctor called in and said everyone needs a chaperone now, even if it's dude.
So that ain't happening.
The rules have changed, I guess, recently. So if your male doctor has to check you in your genitals, he has to have...
I'm going to start charging admission. You want to check my genitals?
That's crazy. I'll be like, dude, no.
Yeah, I'll be like, listen, if you go down on me,
they just can't risk some sort of inappropriate touching lawsuit or...
Well, that's just it. Yeah, that would be it.
That's crazy.
When I have my exam, there's always somebody else in the room.
I guess we're just not used to it as well.
I'm like, you just look away. Look over there. Mm. Don't look, you know, that's whatever. Because
they have
to,
and the craziest part is it's not like you can turn your back to them.
Yeah.
They have to witness the person
doing
just a thorough exam and not jerking you off.
They look so uncomfortable.
Well, and it's uncomfortable for everybody.
Yeah.
Right? Even the female doctor, she was a younger, like she was probably in her late 20s.
Her. So
all of this was like, Jesus on earth, can we just check these balls and move on?
Yeah, I think my doctor's office is like a place where interns go to train. So I'm constantly being like, not just... I don't want everybody looking.
Yeah. Mine's not for training.
Listen, this is a private event.
As someone from a Florida medical clinic says, our new policy is if your balls have to be groped, it's got to turn into a threesome.
Wow.
So if you haven't had an exam in a while, keep that in mind. There's going to be other people in the room with you. That's it, what got me off guard. I just assumed because she was female that she was calling in a guy.
Yeah.
Right. And I thought even for her own comfort, because I'm sure some men would be inappropriate with a woman fondling them, like jerks, a-holes, right?
Yeah,
I guess there is that part of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
You got me in line. Go ahead.
Just a weird day. Eric in Boston.
That's so horrible.
Yeah. Hi, Eric. How are
Can't
you?
Wait for you to touch it.
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing okay, man. What's your comment?
So there was one morning I had to go to the ER for testicular pain. Didn't know what it was. I'm laying in the ER room and the doctor comes in and he walks in with two very good-looking nurses in training. And he says, we need to look at what's going on. So I'm holding my junk right in my hand and one of them comes over next to him and she's like, hold on, I need to take a closer look at this. And I'm just sitting there, you know, with my junk in my hand, like, what am I supposed to do? It was a very awkward moment in my life.
I'll tell you right now that if I'm ever in a scenario and like three or four people come in and they're like, we have to stare at your junk, I'm like, okay, well, there's a rule. There's something else that has to happen. Anything I could possibly have to have done, we're doing right now. Like, with everyone here. It's time for my vasectomy. It's time for, like, I'm like, there's too many people that are seeing this. I want everything done. What right. else could I possibly need done down here?
Don't make several visits like that.
Right.
Yeah. Let's
get it all taken
get
care of.
Get it all done.
And several people are saying that you can refuse.
Mm.
Like, if you're not comfortable, you can say, I'd prefer to do a self-check or
see,
I'd
there
prefer
you go.
A
just
specialist.
Say that.
Yeah. That's, oh, that's perfect.
A see a specialist. Thank you.
Yeah.
James is in Tampa. Good morning. What's your comment, James?
So I went to the, it's not about, you know, getting your boys checked out. It's a little hemorrhoid situation.
Oh, yep.
I had a hemorrhoid about the size of a golf ball, probably a little bit bigger one time. Man, I ended up going to the emergency room for it. And search doctors checks me out, and he called somebody else in there, checked me out. And by the end of it, I had six, no exaggeration, six people in there looking at my hemorrhoid while I'm in there with my butt in the air and everything just dangling.
Oh, my God, James.
But James, laugh, that's horrible.
But here's
butt
the thing, here, right?
Butt like, ball. If you show up with something that is
out of the ordinary,
super abnormal, like a golf ball size hemorrhoid, is a it's that's rough, wild.
Yeah.
So they have to be like, listen, I'm sorry, I know that this sucks for you, but no one in this whole building has seen it.
What did they end up doing?
We all had a good laugh. I asked who was taking me out for dinner when we were done.
What did they end up doing for you and your golf ball?
Lance.
Yeah, you got to own it. You got to own every situation you're in, man. Just,
did they chop that thing off, or what'd they do?
No, they gave me the cream with a little pusher on the end of it. I'm supposed to shove it up there and push it back in there myself.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
I still, to this day, I hope I don't ever have to.
I know, me
it,
too.
But I don't understand.
I don't either.
I'm always like, please, dear God, I don't understand the whole set of hemorrhoids. It's like some kind of vein that pops out of your ass.
It's coming for you all.
I know Chuck has unfortunately had to deal with it.
Coming for you all.
I haven't, and I don't ever. I don't ever maybe want not to. I am so conscious of not. This is so weird. I never push.
It's from
like, as long as you don't do that. Crazy. Yeah, you'll be fine.
Also, don't linger around too long. You said
and I don't.
Long.
So yeah. That's my thing. I don't linger and I don't push.
You live in hemorrhoid fear.
I do. Because I've seen my dad suffered and seemed to have the worst pain. Mm. So I'm always.
Just heard about him on here and it's like, I do not want that. But I don't know. I don't. I seem to have taken some rough deuces.
Yeah. The thing is, too, you guys have probably had them and not even realized it because most of them are inside, and most of them are super small. Well, like, you don't even realize.
You got your colonoscopy, they would have told you, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
Right?
Yeah, they didn't mention. Just for one of them to be the size of a golf ball, like, how does that happen?
Imagine that. Just like how uncomfortable would that be?
So what it is...
And it's a vein, right?
Yeah, he's burst a vein, and then... But the blood just kept pumping in.
Oh.
So it's just pumping in and pumping in, and he's got like a golf ball size of blood.
Does it?
Well, I think that. Well, I was surprised they did not lance it, right? But I think most of them don't. They just go away.
Hmm.
Your body takes care of it.
Lance them.
I don't. I assumed.
Dude. Didn't they strangle? Didn't some guy call in saying that they basically strangled it to death?
Like, well, the way that they would do like a skin tag. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. Dylan.
Your body basically is doing that anyway. Yeah.
Hi, Dylan.
Hi. So I'm going for a physical for the first time in 6 years, and you guys got me terrified.
I know, I'm about to cancel my appointment.
Just say you don't want the ball exam or whatever. You'll be fine.
All right, and the second thing is, Dave, now, how was it when the nurse had to lift up your hammer to see your boys?
All right, that's enough. Dylan.
It was hard. They had to call in help.
Called just the busted balls.
So big and heavy. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Zach is with us next. Hi, Zach.
Two people had to lift his hammer.
Zach.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I was at the doctor getting a regular physical, and I had a inguinal hernia that I didn't know about, which is above your, kind of above the junk.
Okay.
And the guy was the guy was feeling it, and he was kneeling down on the ground, pushing kind of on my, you know, my area. And he said, okay, now push down. And I thought he meant put my weight into his body. So I leaned kind of like Michael Jackson all the way down. So the guy was kneeling down on the ground, holding me up by my balls pretty much. And eventually he had to say, no. I mean, like, you're like, flex your abs. And I said, oh, my God. And, you know, luckily I never went back.
It's a new doctor after that.
You'll never see. If a man's been holding you up by your balls, you can never see him again.
If there's any kind of question about what the command is, ask another. Just ask a question.
Double check.
Like, excuse me, you said push down. What do you mean?
It's another thing I don't want his hernias.
Yeah.
To deal with them.
Well, yeah, honestly, that's what the ball thing for me is. That's what they're always checking.
I don't want kidney stones. I don't want hernia. So many I don't want hemorrhoids. Yeah. So many.
Those are like three things I learned I don't want from my dad. Like three things I learned because he's had them, and just those are things he's been shot, you know?
Yeah.
And for him to talk about kidney stones more than getting shot.
It's true.
Really scares
me.
Right.
That made more of an impression on him.
It did.
For me, it was an old guy that we worked with. We heard try to pass one at the urinal, sounded like the worst pain you've ever had in your life. I'm like, I got to drink water for the rest of my life every day, a lot of it.
I was in the stall, and he came in. I know I've told this story a million times, but honestly, the way that this man was reacting, I thought it's like someone gave him the worst news he's ever heard in his life. And then he went to the urinal, and he was sobbing about, like, that's where my brain went. I'm like, oh, my God, what has happened in his life?
It was a whale.
Yeah, like, I was like, what has happened in his life that he has been told something absolutely terrible? This is terrible. I'm like, I feel so bad for this guy right now. I do not know what they just told him. I'm like, did he get fired? Like, what has happened? And then I found out later, no, the guy's trying to pass kidney stones.
And he did pass one at work in the urinal.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's well, insane. And I'm telling you, it was like someone is in there and they've just been told their mother and father both died at the same time. Yeah. Like, that's how terrible reaction this guy was having.
Oh,
both of your parents just died.
Oh, hey, let's just let you know.
That's awful.
Parents are dead.
That's Jesus. Yeah, no, it is. It's just been a fear ever since then.
Yeah.
My dad gave me the hemorrhoid fear. That guy gave me the kidney stone fear. And what's the other one?
Hemorrhoids.
Hemorrhoids.
Yeah, the less hemorrhoid.
No, hemorrhoids, kidney stone, and what was the other?
Hernia?
Well, I know hernias can, like, flip your belly button out. You ever see people with that?
Yeah.
A flip, like...
Yeah, it can come all out.
Yeah, it makes your belly like flat.
This guy said, I'm a roofer. I've had my share of pains. Ask one of my shop people. Everyone thought I was going to die when I had to pass a kidney stone. It was the worst pain ever.
Just, okay, do everyone a favor, I guess. I mean, I know it's, you don't want to have to, but if you're going to share a bathroom with people, you should be telling... At least say, damn you, kidney stone, during your
so people know
wailing.
So people don't call 911.
I felt so bad for this man.
Yeah, you thought a man's family had been murdered.
Yes, that's what it sounded like.
I believe his family has been murdered.
I don't know what that guy's going through, man.
No, it wasn't good.
No.
Anyway, back to license plates that were denied. Turd pro doctor onto this.
Yeah.
Drug dealer was turned down.
That's not they're not a great drug dealer if that's
their
license plate.
Nope.
DRUG space DLR denied. Yeah. slut bus. That was also.
That's a sweet name for a bus.
Or a minivan.
Yeah.
2020 FU. That was denied.
They should have let that. They should have allowed it.
Too effing slow. They denied Lisa's request for that.
Yeah.
She wanted people to know they were too effing slow. I pee a lot.
That's a weird one.
I pee a lot.
Pee a lot.
Yeah.
That could have been mine, too.
It could have, this one...
Yeah, I don't know. It was a whim.
Just decided I wanted to share something super personal with
everyone. Personalized license plate, Lisa, say, I pee a lot?
Yeah, I don't know what came over me. I just did, was like, God, what really is me? I know what I do.
She's proud of her hydration.
She tells us. She tells us every time we fly. You gotta say, I gotta pee, I gotta have the aisle seat.
What an incredible thing
to hydrate.
If you got that license plate and then just never said anything about it. You just like just did the regular Lisa life and you're like, well, you got this IP a lot. License plate and don't ever say anything about it.
And then you see it.
Yeah, I'm like, is anybody going to talk about Lisa's license plate?
No, man, I'm not talking about that.
Who can bring that, can't bring that up to
I know
her.
It does.
She's talking about peeing.
She does. She does.
Yeah, she does.
I really do.
She tells us, too. Yeah, they got to pee a lot. You need the aisle seat on the plane. So
no, I'm always waiting.
Yeah. She never says anything about it.
That one struck me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
F-bomb. Someone tried to get F-bombs on their license plate. That was denied. And also, this is, I think James tried to get bend over. It was also denied.
Yeah. Yeah, they're real, real strict there. They won't let anything cool go through.
I know.
So that's the, and they said they didn't share some of the worst requests. So
oh, I'm sure. Well, I'm sure some people would just fill them out with the most filthy thing you can.
So you can't imagine what they were trying. Yeah. I can come up with a couple of ideas just
you
based
have
on
some ideas.
Well, just you know what people would.
Oh, I know what I would do. I know exactly what I would do. I would go to my son and I would be like, "Okay, listen, I need something super dirty that no one anywhere close to my age has any idea what it means." And he'd have like five or six different terms that they use that I have no idea. It's like, that's what you do. You got to find like the up and coming slang terms for stuff.
This is kind of funny. Someone said, I just saw a Michigan State Police blue charger with the license plate, not a cop.
That's
not
funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is funny, actually.
Yeah, thank you for the heads up. Yeah, I hope it is not a cop.
Not a cop.
No, but it's probably a cop.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But they're like, but they're one of the ones that park at the side to pull you over for speeding.
That's like the latest thing, right? Like, cops are funny now. Like, I watch their Twitters and stuff. And
the
police departments. And some of them have a sense of humor, which is odd.
They've realized they got to lighten things up.
They want to make people like them.
Yeah, I guess
there's that part of it.
But I think that's
the PR. We have the ice cream PR bars thing. Here.
No, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
I see those guys every once in a while. Ice cream bar guys.
They got to connect with the people.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's been
a whole aspect of it.
Kind of a nationwide order.
Yeah, connect with people more.
You know.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Download Dave and Chuck the Freak's Tasty Bits podcast on iTunes or Google Play.
The internet's still reeling from the sudden loss of Bob Saget. There's no new information today on the cause of death, but here's the latest on what people are talking about. Just the other day, Bob was on a podcast where he talks about the fact that he got COVID-19. He describes it as not good, and he jokes about which strain he may have had. He still sounds sick.
Oh. He just had it?
Yeah, he just had it. Apparently, the timeline's not clear.
Because he did a stand-up
he
the
did.
Night before.
So, I'm sure he was clear. Probably past that.
Yeah.
But just maybe still having some symptoms or just had a cold. But here's what he said about it, which is kind of eerie.
Not good. It does not feel good. I had it. I don't know if I had Delta or I might have had a combo. Maybe at one point they were working together. I don't know. I think at one point Omicron was opening for Delta, but then Omicron got so big, Delta's opening now. I'm going to entertain that audience to the best of my ability for what's there, for whatever's there. So if it's half full, I go, wow, that's disappointing. And then all of a sudden, 200 more people show up because they decide at the last minute, what the hell? When are we going to see Bob? You know, he might die from COVID. Let's go see him.
Jeez. You did sound bad, too.
You did.
Yeah.
That could have just been a cold or, you know, some nasal congestion or something.
You don't know. Like,
that is crazy.
Or maybe he thought he recovered and he hadn't fully. Who knows?
It was the night before, too. Like, he pushed himself for 2 hours doing stand-up that night. So
well, it's a lot, too, to be on the road and doing stand-up, being sick, and then who knows what happened.
Yeah.
We have the 911 call as well. And I guess, as we alluded to earlier, if you're in the medical profession, you kind of disconnect yourself from what's going on because you have to in order to mentally get through it. But it just sounds real perky. This woman sounds real perky answering the call about them finding a dead guy in a hotel.
911.
We have an unresponsive guest in a room. My officer is telling me that that there's no pulse and the...
Okay. Non-responsive, not breathing?
Yeah, not responsive, not breathing, and no pulse.
Okay, stay on the line for medical. One moment.
Thank you.
Okay, non-responsive, not breathing.
She's just going through her checklist.
Yeah, that's
it.
You know. Just her work, right?
Just her work.
Yeah.
They checked on him because he was supposed to check out that day, and he had not yet.
Yeah, well, I knew when they said like 4 o'clock, they found him around 4. I was like, oh, that must have been the cutoff.
Yeah.
Where they were going in to clean the room.
His family was unable to get a hold of him, and that's when they sent someone in. He was found on the bed. He was cold to the touch and clammy. There were no signs of trauma, foul play, or drug use. He had last used his key to enter the room at 2:17 a.m. They did find medication, all just basic stuff, ibuprofen, antacid, and antihistamine. The initial autopsy was completed yesterday, but the results are inconclusive and pending further investigation, so they say it could be 10 to 12 weeks before they know for sure what killed him.
So who knows what time he died, if he was in his sleep. Or...
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have been shortly after he got back to the room.
Yeah.
Yep.
And was just found that way. Jody Sweetin, Stephanie Tanner from Full House put out a really touching tribute. She called him the best TV dad ever. She also promised to tell an inappropriate joke at his funeral because that's what he would have wanted. Bob reportedly talked to his wife, Kelly, on the day he died. He was apparently really excited that it was such a great show Saturday night. And as Lisa mentioned yesterday, his touring partner, Mike Young, said that Bob seemed great before his death. Like there was nothing wrong with him. He said everyone was blindsided by the news.
I mean, sometimes it just happens, right? Like, so, it's crazy. Sometimes it just, you just go.
Yeah, it's just like extra odd with him because there's like, it didn't seem like any drug use.
No.
He didn't seem like he was in bad shape.
Nope.
Jimmy Kimmel got emotional talking about Bob Saget last night.
I was going through emails with Bob, and some of them were just funny, but some were very serious emails about life and the well-being of our children and how hard it is to appreciate one of those without the other being just right. In one email, we're talking about our kids, and I have it here. He wrote, "One night soon, let's go out and have some meat and some good damn drinks and talk about how lucky we are that we have them. We love you, Bob."
Ever since Jimmy Kimmel had kids.
Oh, he's the most emotional man.
He's been crying for a while.
I've
heard him cry a million times.
He cries all the time.
It seems to be more so, though,
he's very
since
open
he brought life into the world.
Yeah.
It can't change you as a man, for sure, when you have a kid. But
and his kid went through stuff, right?
Yes.
And that really.
Yeah.
And that got to him, no doubt. In other celebrity health news, turns out Betty White died from a stroke. A stroke she suffered 6 days before she passed.
Oh.
Betty's cause of death listed as a stroke, according to her death certificate. A loss of blood flow to part of the brain, resulting in brain tissue damage. But they do say on the certificate that the stroke happened 6 days before her death. This can be caused by blood clots or broken blood vessels in the brain. She passed away at her home on the final morning of 2021, less than 3 weeks before she would have celebrated her 100th birthday. And one more quick note here. Former porn star Jenna Jameson has lost her ability to walk.
What?
She's been diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome. And apparently is not doing well.
Oh, that's awful.
At all.
Never heard of that.
That's...
She's not been great for a while.
Yeah, but...
She's not with Tito Ortiz still, right?
That I don't know.
That's her partner, Lior Bitten.
Okay, yeah, that's not.
This is a rare autoimmune disorder in which a person's own immune system damages the nerves, causing muscle weakness and sometimes paralysis. Symptoms can last from weeks to years. Most fully recover, but some have permanent nerve damage. Mm-hmm.
Well, hopefully she recovers. Be able to walk again, then.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's a bummer. This is that on.
I know. Yeah. Sorry. Just death and strokes. Injury update.
Whew. That's all the fun of calling your grandma in one.
Yeah. One break.
Hey, Grandma.
What's going on?
Oh, you know.
Betty White had us.
Yeah,
Betty White
strained. Didn't have enough blood in it.
Took her 6 days to die.
All the tissue.
Bob Saget. He was cold to the touch and probably laying naked on a bed for hours and hours.
Jenna Jameson can't walk.
Yeah. You know, one time she was a top porn star in the world, gorgeous woman. Now, a paralyzed, chubby disaster. That's life.
How are you feeling, Grandma?
Like I'm going to die any second. Everyone I know is dead.
I heard you got that flesh-eating disease.
Yeah, they chopped my leg off.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I can feel my liver is a mess. My kidneys are off.
Oh, goodness.
I only have a quarter of a lung.
Oh, barely breathing, huh?
Yeah.
Tell them about how Bob Saget got
Your grandpa wants to tell you.
Hey, I'm here. Hello.
Oh, there he is.
Hey, listen, Bob Saget had that COVID like a week before he died. Uh-huh. I just wanted to be careful out there.
I appreciate that.
They're running amok. All right, I got to go.
And listen, your grandpa doesn't want to tell you, but he's been peeing blood.
No!
You didn't tell him about me pissing blood, did you?
I just did.
Oh, Grandma. You should get that checked out.
He's one of his arms stopped working.
Oh, my God.
That is true.
You guys are quite a pair.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you need anything, you let me know.
Money.
No.
Yeah, turns out we spent our last dime.
Oh, sorry, Grandma. We're losing the line.
We've got nothing left.
I got to go. I'm going into a tunnel. All right, bye.
Ouch.
For God's sakes, he didn't want to talk to you anymore.
Yeah. Your grandfather loves you.
And the next conversation you have, they'll forget everything they said. And they'll tell you all about it again.
I lost my leg.
What?
Bob Saget died.
You mentioned that. Grandpa, what? You mentioned that. Grandpa, I do a radio.
Did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jenna Jameson can't walk anymore.
What? Yeah, I don't even remember that.
I do a radio show, so we've covered that stuff, Grandpa.
Oh.
Yeah.
Radio.
I'm on the
radio. Finally made it.
You remember I'm on the radio?
Yeah.
The radio show.
Yeah. WJR.
No, that's not it. That's wrong. That's not it.
Uh-huh.
No.
J.P. McCarthy?
No, that's a long time ago.
You on that show?
No.
Took over for him?
No. I better get going, though, you guys. Take care of yourselves. See you soon.
Stay safe.
Okay, you too.
Oh.
You too. Grandma and Grandpa there on the line.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of troubles.
Yeah.
It's so true.
All right, let's lighten it up then.
Okay,
right, I guess, fine. I was trying to just lump together all the
news
that's
going
fine.
On.
No,
that's
so, news.
Yeah, that's fine. Know.
It sucks to be old.
Listening to this show, you know old drivers can be real bad.
Oh, yeah.
We also have learned old pilots can be even worse.
Yep.
Scary concept.
Yes.
A pilot in his 70s.
Huh?
Missed the airport.
I don't see it. I don't see it anywhere.
And crashed onto some railroad tracks.
This is amazing video. Do you have
it? I do, and it's crazy. He is so lucky.
So lucky.
The officers arrived when they did. They pulled him out of that plane seconds before that train would have destroyed him and his plane.
Oh, wait a second.
He landed it on a train track.
He landed, and then a train
and
got
then
him?
A train, yes.
So, like, double bad luck.
Yes.
I see it. I'm coming in for a landing here. Looks weird.
Is that a runway?
Apparently, think so.
Sir, you're heading right toward our train tracks.
Huh? I'm going to put her down.
I'm going to put her down right there. That's train tracks. Are
I said it right down right now. I see you. I got it. I got this. Been flying a while.
He crashed onto the railroad tracks, and then luckily cops were there before it was smashed into pieces, because he would have been a goner. Here's the story now from Inside Edition. Take a listen.
Police officers were just in time to save a pilot whose plane went down near train tracks. LAPD officers responded to the scene in Pacoima, where the pilot missed a landing at a nearby airport.
He
was injured, but officers knew they had to move quickly as the train was coming. They pulled him out and dragged him away from the impending crash.
No one else was in the plane,
and the pilot was taken to a hospital where he was treated for his injuries. The wreckage of the plane remained on the tracks and shows just how devastating the crash could have been if it wasn't for some brave officers who were able to rescue this man before it was too late.
That's seconds.
Yeah, three seconds. They got him out of there with 3 seconds to spare. If you haven't seen this video, it's up at DaveAndChuckTheFreak.com. You can go check it out. But you can look at it two ways, I guess. He's either extremely lucky or extremely unlucky.
Yeah.
Because he missed the runway and landed on train tracks of all places.
And the train wasn't like there was no train in sight, because a lot of times that's the case.
Right.
What are the chances a train is coming right then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or he's so lucky that he survived not just a plane crash, but also a train crash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you should just go to Bob Evans from the rest of it.
Leave me alone.
They say he'll survive. He did have some injuries from the plane crash.
I bet.
They don't list, though, exactly what the injuries are.
He looked pretty injured.
Well, like his pants were completely torn all apart. So I don't know if he just wore torn apart pants. Most old guys don't.
No.
They have wonderful slacks.
His pants were...
I wonder if that's from them trying to get him out.
That's what I wondered too. But
what kind of injuries did he have? Did it say?
It doesn't say.
List them.
Doesn't list it. At least the.
I feel like his legs were not in great shape, but.
Yeah, it looked like the one leg must have got pinned or something. But.
Yeek.
Time to give up flying. You know?
Yeah.
Well, we've said that so many times to
old
pilots.
They won't. He's not giving up flying.
No, that's their life, though. I'm just going to see if they have it here. What,
like his injuries?
His condition. Unknown condition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Is that the other side of it?
That's the other view. It's incredibly, incredibly lucky man there that he survived a plane crash and a train crash in the same day.
Is there a worse spot to land a plane?
No, don't think so.
I don't think so.
Maybe. Volcano.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wow, whoever was recording that almost got
killed.
They
almost got killed by one of the wings that just flew off. Not good cops there.
Wow.
Stepped in to help that old guy, because he wouldn't be with us anymore if they didn't. Well, from that guy to another old dude who's making some headlines, this would be hard to steal with a truck. Never mind a four-door sedan. But the 60-year-old guy in Alabama got arrested because he decided he wanted a full set of metal bleachers from a public park.
Yeah.
So he just hooked them up to his trunk and thought he'd drag them down the street to his place. That didn't quite work out for him, though. Here's his story now from Fox 10. Take a listen.
The picture tells the story. That's a set of stadium bleachers actually tied to that sedan being dragged down the road. According to Mobile Police, it's a theft in progress, and there was no trying to be covert about it. It all happened during the middle of the day. After seeing it scrape down the road, an officer pulled over the driver around 12:30 yesterday afternoon. 60-year-old Michael McClellan arrested and booked into Metro Jail about 45 minutes later. We're told those bleachers stolen from Lions Park. All things considered, he made it pretty far, about a mile and a half here on Dr. Martin Luther King Avenue, just across the street from Catholic Cemetery. Of course, when that officer pulled him over, he had a lot of questions. Like, where are you going with those bleachers? What are you thinking? Did you really think no one would notice? You couldn't borrow a truck or trailer? All questions we still don't know the answers to. However, those bleachers now back at Lions Park where they belong, sitting next to another set that could have easily fit on the roof of the car. Tonight, McClellan remains in Metro, charged with theft of property, first degree.
I don't care about any of the questions they asked him. I wanted to know, what would you need a set of bleachers for in your backyard?
One report claims it was for a party he was having.
Like, I'm going to have a bunch of people over, and I'm going to have bleacher seating at it.
You have a game planned in the backyard?
Saved you from getting everybody a bunch of chairs or renting a bunch of chairs. You just some bleachers.
Huh.
Which would be great for my whole Indian family when they come over. I'd get
bleachers.
Bleachers. If you see a pair of bleachers being dragged down my street, look away.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an odd thing to see.
Just what a weird thing to need.
How much are bleachers? Like, how much could I buy a set of bleachers for?
I think anyone's ever looked into that.
I think it'd be in the thousands, right? It would be
bleachers. It's the most uncomfortable seating for that
you could possibly get.
Yeah, it's not great. Not great seating.
I hate when I go to someone's house outside and they have like metal, like uncomfortable seats.
$825 there. We can get a nice cheaper set.
Like the cheapest about $825. The most expensive about $25.
You guys are me and Lisa are working some stuff out over here.
Okay, I'm talking about uncomfortable seating when you go to someone's house. Don't you hate that? And you're sitting there outside and they're uncomfortable metal chairs.
That's,
we hate that.
It was actually the way it was at my grandma's house all the time. So my grandma had enough. No, but there was like one chair from like 1910 that whenever we would have a get together, be like, oh, can you get the chair? I'm like, oh, here we go with the chair.
The outside chairs?
And, no. It was chairs. This was for inside, but it was the most uncomfortable chair.
I hate those. There used to be these like really cheap folding chairs.
Oh, yeah.
And it looked like the cloth of it was made from the clothes of a homeless man.
Yes. Yeah.
I recall.
I hate those things.
Yeah.
Because you'd be worried the cloth was about to give.
Oh, yeah. And the metal itself didn't even seem very sturdy. I mean, I've always had fat guy chair fears.
You do.
Anyway. So how much are
about $800 to $1,000 for the cheapest? For the cheapest?
The double one, it looks like it's $2,400.
They're a lot more expensive than I thought.
Yeah, that's why that guy was trying to steal them.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
He probably did. He was like, oh, I'll get a quick set of them. Oh, no, I won't.
Yeah, I got to steal me some. But just tying them to your trunk and dragging them down the street. Not the way to do it.
No.
Turns out. All right. This next story out of Boston is nuts. You guys in Boston, you take your parking spots seriously. What happens here apparently is they've had a big snowfall in Boston over the past few days.
Okay.
And someone cleared a spot for themselves. Well, this guy parked in that cleared out spot.
Well, like I cleared a spot. I cleared my own spot.
Well, technically, it's not yours.
Oh, right? Okay.
As far as I know.
These people live around there?
Yes. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is. But from what I assume, it's just like I clear a spot on the road that I normally park, but it's still just on the road.
Yes.
Anyone is available to park there.
Uh-huh.
Well, this guy in South Boston, his neighbors did not like the fact that he parked in a spot they cleared out, and they let him know.
Oh, they took care
of
it.
Wait till you see what they did. Here's the story.
Oh, boy.
From Boston 25 News. Let's take a listen in.
10 parking space payback, a car filled with snow. The owner thinks it's because he parked in someone else's shoveled out spot. This case of snow rage happened in South Boston, where
snow
residents
rage
have been historically vicious after major snowstorms.
Boston 25 News reporter Jason Law joins us live. And Jason, you spoke with the owner of that car and some major damage done here.
Yeah, Mark and Vanessa, the inside of this guy's Jeep was trashed. And again, as you said, he thinks it's because he parked in a spot here that was shoveled out earlier in the day by somebody else. Now, we're going to show you what happened, but we got to tell you the details of what happened inside this guy's Wrangler are pretty gross.
Around here, you park wherever you see a spot.
Jay Hassey has lived in South Boston for 6 years, so he knows how precious parking spaces can be. But he still can't believe somebody did this to the inside of his Jeep.
People are out of their minds.
Hassey says somebody shoveled snow into the front and back seat of his Wrangler and then vomited inside, all because he parked in the wrong spot.
It was absolutely destroyed. The inside, they just puked everywhere.
And Hassie said it's not like he moved someone's space saver and stole a spot. He said there was no space saver. After Friday's snowstorm, someone took Hassie's parking space outside his home on D Street. So he parked in the next place he could find.
It's just a terrible thing to do. Even if I did steal a space saver, which again, I did not steal a space saver. Even if I did, how is that the proper reaction?
We showed pictures of the damage to other people in Hassie's neighborhood.
A simple human shouldn't do that to somebody else. That's just rude and inconsiderate.
That's gross. It's disgusting.
And if you're wondering, no, Hassie didn't leave his Jeep unlocked. It has a soft top, so he says it's easy for anybody to get in and out.
You hope people see this and treat their neighbors better?
Oh, I honestly don't even care anymore. I went to an open house on Saturday. I'm getting the heck out of the city.
Hassie did file a police report with Boston Police. We talked with a department spokesperson. They could only tell us that it's an open investigation. It's going to cost Hassie $850, though, to have his Jeep detailed and cleaned out.
Wow, that's cheaper than I thought.
It looked more damaged.
To get all that vomit and everything out of there.
Some snow, wet, and the vomit. Yeah, bad reaction, but he should not have taken that. Somebody cleaned that out.
You folks in Boston have your own weird parking rules. You're allowed to claim your spot, right? You can put a space saver down. If you cleared a spot, anything like a baby carriage, a parking cone, a milk crate, you can claim to it. If you've cleared it, apparently, legally, you can say, okay, this is my spot that I've cleared out. He's saying he didn't remove it. Kareem's in Boston. You wanted to chime in on this. What's the story?
I was just saying that in Southie, there has to be a safe space saver. If you shovel out your spot, you have 3 days to put a space saver, whatever it's a garbage can or whatever it is. But you shovel out that spot, you take 3 hours to do it, you're going to put a space saver there. And you move someone's space saver, that's like you're asking for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's no way people did this. Yeah, because he looked like he was a guy who would move a space saver. Come on.
No,
even if I did, because he was like, and even if I did move a space saver, it's a little bit of a ridiculous reaction. No.
I guarantee you right now you can drive through Southie, and it showed last night, there's not a single spot that's on the street without a space saver. Guaranteed.
Yeah. You spend that much time shoveling out snow, you're putting a space saver down.
Absolutely, 100%. And if someone's going to move my space saver, then you're asking for it. I come from Revere, and you move someone's space saver, you're going to end up with flat tires. There's not a question about it.
Yeah.
Not a question about it. Right. All four, or at least one side of your tires are gone. Like, expect that.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Congratulations, you found a spot.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it's acceptable that they got into his car, filled it with snow, puked all over it, sprayed chocolate milk all over it? You think that's fair?
He should have locked his car.
Oh, well,
he had a soft top. It was cheaper, though, than the tires, because those Jeep tires are expensive.
Yes, thank
so he
you.
Ended up
I would
winning.
Be like, thank you for not popping my tires.
Yeah, I honestly would have just, did one side of his tie and said, there's $1,000, enjoy my spot.
Yeah,
I mean, he was asking for it.
Yeah, I guess he was.
You know?
Yeah.
And listen, someone took his spot. So, probably he was mad and he's like, I can't believe this. And then he realized I'm going to have to do it to someone else. And the thing is, the neighborhood takes care of that, right?
It does. It really does. Especially in Southie.
All right. Yeah. Kareem, thanks for calling in, man. You have a good day.
You too, brother.
See ya. That's a rule I never knew, that you could just lay claim to. People said they've seen gas grills, camping chairs, baby carriages, all sorts of things in spots to claim it.
So as long as there's something on the road in that spot,
then that's technically yours because you've cleared
and
it.
And everyone looks out who's in the neighborhood and is like, oh, that's Dave's carriage. That's his spot.
Even if there wasn't a space saver, which I'm sure there was, but even if there wasn't, I would think you spent the time shoveling out that I'm not taking your spot. You know?
Right, I know, but there was something there. You know there was something there.
Yeah, I do.
Where are you supposed to park, though? Let's look at from the other side here.
You have to figure it out.
Someone stole my spot. I'm driving around.
There's
too many baby carriages and bricks marking spots, and I got to park.
Yeah.
He's moving out of the city. That's probably what he needs to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't live like that. I couldn't be hunting for spots to get home.
So what he should have done, though, is he should have stopped at his spot that he had cleared out or was saving. And pulverize that person's car.
Oh, my God.
That's how the neighborhood takes care of it.
Mike's in Boston. You wanted to chime in on this, too.
Yeah, the space savers, if the guy moved it, it's fine because they only put them in place for the snow emergencies, which they didn't do. So that guy's just a little hurt about it.
So there was no snow emergency when this happened?
Yeah, you can only use space savers technically when there's a snow emergency in place.
Okay, technically, but actually, don't people use them anytime they clear a spot?
Yeah, but everyone pushes them out of the way when there's no snow emergency.
Okay, so there's some gray area here.
I mean, that's fine. I think you better know what neighborhood you're doing
right.
in.
Right.
I think if you I better know what your
chances.
If I push someone's space saver out of the way, I feel like I know something bad's going to happen to me.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Especially like Southie, when a neighborhood is known in like TV shows and movies as a tough area, maybe don't do it there.
Yeah.
You know?
Someone said, I know people in Southie who will call out sick if it's supposed to start snowing, so they have a good spot before it snows.
See?
Like, they don't want to move their car.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a real nightmare over there.
Lose that spot.
And I thought they just got something like 9 inches of snow. I thought something like that was...
Well, they were expecting it, but I think it was overblown.
Okay.
You know, some places got hit harder than others.
Right.
Yeah, I guess you have it 72 hours, only if the mayor declares an emergency.
Okay.
Then you can claim a spot for up to 72 hours. Outside of that, you're not supposed to.
But if it wasn't an emergency, then this poor guy has a point, I guess. But still.
But still.
You're taking your life in your own hands.
I'm looking at it from the person that spent the time shoveling that snow. It sucks shoveling snow.
Yep.
That's your spot.
Someone said, as a masshole, I figure the guy's lucky he's not in the hospital.
Yeah. Count your blessings.
Oh, man.
That's different.
It could have been your blood all over.
Michael, you broke the space saver rule?
I broke the rules. I knew them anyways, but I broke them.
And what happened to you?
They flattened both tires on the side of my car. Yep. I was there for maybe less than 5 minutes.
I think we talked to the guy.
5 minutes?
Yeah, I think we talked to the guy.
Come on! Yeah. But
it's my fault. I know it, and I did it anyways. So
you knew it.
I drove away, and I had to get my car fixed. That's my fault, my problem. I was wrong.
I love that you're taking ownership for it.
That's really good. I love that you're taking
ownership. You can't no one to blame but yourself.
I ran into the boot store. I knew my size. Said, hey, I'll give you money. Give me those boots. Let me get out of here. By the time I came
out. That's all it took.
Hey, penis balls.
Yes, penis
balls. Penis to you. Thanks a lot for listening, dude. You have a good day.
I'd almost have to keep a representative behind.
You have to like, have a passenger.
Yeah, to be like,
he's just picking up boots. Relax.
Yeah.
5 minutes tops. We'll be gone. You need the space. I'll move it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to take someone with you. Callie's in Boston.
Hey.
What do you think about this?
I think it's garbage, honestly. I think the kid's garbage. But it's always been... Sorry. It's always been that you use a space saver, and it's just known. And then all of a sudden, all these yuppies started moving in, and they've been making the town richer. You know what I mean? Like they're and they get all pissed, you know, PO'd because now we're still using our space saver. So then the mayor, you know, got into it and was like, "No, it's only on snow emergencies for 24 hours." Blah blah blah. But it was never that way.
Okay, so
they don't know the old rules. They're trying to change.
And you saw him like, I'm privileged. I can
take that spot.
And so now they all, you know, they piss and moan about it, and they get their way. But meanwhile, we're living in our own, you know, the old way, the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
that's it.
But rules. It's like, I don't know why my car was destroyed.
Some guy said someone parked in his spot. He spent 4 hours cleaning.
Oh, man.
He left a space saver
there.
4 hours? 4 hours took him to clean it after a big snow emergency. Left a cone there as a space saver. He went to pick up some takeout, came back. His neighbor had parked in his spot. So for the next 8 months, I took my dog out at night. And I put dog poop on this car every night for 8 months.
Excellent.
Eight months worth of revenge.
That's what
you
happens.
You are committed.
Don't you think if you knew your neighbor, don't you think there's a lot of like...
Yeah, like, hey.
Hey, how you
I
doing?
Just shoveled that for 4 hours.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'll give you a chance. At least if you're my neighbor, I'll give you a chance to move it. You know? Like, I'd be like, hey, thanks. I bet I know you were just holding my spot for me.
Beverly, you've been a Southie for 65 years?
Yes.
Well, no, I'm only 62. Okay. But I grew up there my whole life.
Okay.
Okay, so it's the honor system in South Boston. So growing up, you know, everyone had a parking spot. There wasn't a lot of cars. But over the past, no one ever knew what South Boston was. They're like, "Where's Southie?" And then all of a sudden, you know, the people come in, they stop, you know, buying everything, breaking mm-hmm. everything down, putting up all these, you know, it looks like a mini Manhattan. It's like all condos everywhere. So a lot of people have 2 and 3 cars. So now space is very, very precious in South Boston.
Okay.
So, you know, when they declare a snow emergency, everyone's scrambling for a spot because Broadway has to be cleared. It's the main road. When they don't declare it, people still go and shovel out their spots. And people automatically put something, whether it's an air conditioner or a chair or a table. They yeah. put tables. They put, and I'll tell you why they put tables. Their broken air conditioners and stuff, because they know after 3 days, the trucks are coming by and hauling the stuff. So they don't have to call the city to take it away. They're going to take it away anyway.
Oh, they put out something they want to get rid of anyway.
Exactly.
Wow, it's a double win. Yeah. Trash removal and parking spot saver.
Exactly. Okay, so, you know, when we were working and we'd go to my friend's house and we were working, he was blind, and people were parked, you know, their space savers were there. What we did was we borrowed it during the day, and what we would do is we'd put a note in our window and saying, I'm at this address, this is my phone number, when you get home, please call, I'll come out and I'll move my car. Very simple, it worked perfect. People don't do it, but we always did it and never had a problem. But the other day, she did not declare a snow emergency. But that night on the news, they said, Michelle Wu did not declare a snow emergency, but she is still going to allow you to use your spot for 3 days.
Yeah.
So she still allowed it.
Right.
But there was no snow emergency. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, that guy probably should have just put a note. But people in Southie, I don't live in Southie anymore. It's just too expensive. But it's crazy there.
Beverly, thanks
it's
for listening.
Crazy. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be living there and having someone, you know, flatten your tires or break your window or throw poop or something. Yeah.
Thanks for calling in, Beverly.
Thank you so much. You guys have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
See ya.
It's good to get the expert there, Beverly, the
long-term
knowledge
Southie.
That she has. Yeah.
It just, you got to know what you're doing. It is so funny that, like, the whole neighborhood is changing.
Yes.
On everybody who's there. And, like, there's guys from Southie that are like, I'm never leaving. I would never leave.
All these people are moving in.
You know?
Someone said for spot stealing, they actually call it the Chelsea Grand Slam, which is 4 flat tires and a smashed windshield.
Give them the Chelsea Grand Slam.
Well, yeah.
Got to leave a note, I guess, according to Beverly.
That's true.
You think?
I mean,
you
got
Chelsea
it.
Grand Slammers are going to worry about a note?
Well, they might, because there might be like an honor system where they, like they said, like, you call this number, I'll be there in 2 minutes,
you
I'll get it
like,
out of there.
So many stories. Used to live in Southie, broke the spot saver rule. My entire car got keyed. I learned my lesson. Like, they take ownership. Like, yeah. I did it.
I wonder how long this guy's lived in South Boston.
It doesn't seem like long.
Yeah, it doesn't.
To me.
Hmm.
Love to know what kind of jacket he had on.
Someone said, a few years ago in Southie, I cleaned a spot for 4 hours. Left co... Oh, I read that.
You already read that. I was like, another 4 hours?
The dog poop one?
These people with the 4 hours.
Paul, one more call here, is with us in Boston. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
What's your comment?
My brother, back in the day, used to go and use stole cones from Boston Edison, and used to put that as space savers. So no one would park in his spot in Boston.
Well, I guess that's the people would think it's legit, right?
So they would go and think that they were doing work on the street, and they'd leave it alone. He'd put it out before the sunrise, and they would come home and he'd just take it and put it in his trunk.
Thanks for calling in, dude. There's a spot I pass, or a street I pass every day, and there's a guy who I believe takes advantage of his position because he works for a phone company.
Uh-huh.
So he has a truck. I see the truck there all the time. But when I'm passed during the day to go home, there's 2 cones saving his spot on the street. They're the phone company cones.
Oh, yeah. Then he is for sure. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he's just, no one would take that. They would assume someone from the phone company is doing work or whatever.
Yep.
But it's just his, he's saving his spot every day by putting those in his spot when he leaves.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
No, that's not cool. But that. His neighbors, I'm sure, would catch on pretty quick.
Yeah, and he probably doesn't live in a neighborhood where they're going to kill his car either, but...
Yeah.
You know, no. Selfie, not the place to do it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Leave a rating for Dave and Chuck the Freak's Tasty Bits podcast on iTunes or Google Play.
A real douchebag caused some trouble in first class on a British Airways flight. This high flyer went on a bizarre rampage that involved chucking chocolates at sleeping passengers, headbutting the flight attendants, and then breaking free of leg restraints to kick a couple of people.
This is a first class guy?
First class. Oh, my God. 33-year-old William Clegg has been charged with assaulting five flight attendants while flying home from San Jose, California to London Heathrow. I guess this guy travels a lot for work. He claims he had two Ambien.
Mm-mm. Oh, well, there you go. That's all it takes.
One tablet of Zopiclone known as Imovane.
What's that for?
Who knows? Zopaglone.
I'm not up on my drugs. Let's see. It's another sleep medicine.
Oh.
Okay.
So two Ambien and another sleeping pill. Had three glasses of wine and two of those little bottles of Bailey's Irish cream.
Jeez.
Oh, my God. Cabin crew were forced to physically restrain him after he put his shirt over a cabin crew member's head and pulled another member of staff to the ground. His lawyer is trying to say that he suffers from insomnia and epilepsy. And he was dealing with the effects of having a high-powered job that involved travel to different countries and staying just for a short while.
Well, it's possible that that's what he was trying to do. But, I mean, if you take certain sleep meds and don't go to sleep, they have...
Crazy effects.
Crazy effects.
Yeah, I mean,
on you.
He did like all the drugs of the Desperate Housewives all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds
wine,
like
Bailey's.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It sounds like he couldn't sleep. So, I mean, like for a while, maybe it was. So, if you have insomnia for a bit, you can't sleep. Makes you crazy too. And then on top of with the drugs.
Yeah.
And well, the Desperate Housewives drinks.
Yeah.
He got pissed that other people were sleeping, and that's when he grabbed some chocolates from the galley. And he decided to whip them.
He was mad at them?
He was mad at the people that were asleep, so he started whipping chocolates at them.
Oh, my God.
On the plane.
That's him, dude. Huh?
That's him.
He looks like a douche.
He does.
Of course.
Totally look like a
douche. He's a man with an umbrella.
At one point, he then said he wanted to go outside to see his friend, and the flight attendant said, sir, we're 38,000 feet in the air.
Mm. Yeah, that's how you know he's out of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not making any sense.
He was taken to the back of the plane to be restrained. He tried to headbutt the flight attendant three times when they did that. As they were trying to restrain him, then he broke free and he hit another flight attendant. Two other flight attendants were kicked when he tried to get free of the leg restraints. When they landed at London Heathrow, police were called and he was arrested. His lawyer says, in a nutshell, he believes he was having an epileptic fit and he couldn't remember what had taken place.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he just was on three sleeping meds and didn't fall asleep, and booze, and that's a bad mix. That's a bad mix.
Oh, it's a super bad mix. I can't imagine three sleeping pills, booze combo.
Well, like an Ambien does stuff to you. I don't know about the other thing, but like, I think some people will almost like hallucinate.
Yeah, I think you trip out
if you stay up.
Yeah. Like you will trip.
So he was tripping, but is he responsible for his actions if it
was? Well, you always are, right? You always are, no matter what. I mean, he's not really like you can understand, okay, maybe you didn't mean to do half the stuff you did.
Did you need the Baileys?
But it's so tasty. Yeah. It's so tasty in your coffee, Andy.
It's like delicious. The weakest drink out of all.
Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't have drank those Baileys.
And Gary, the coffee didn't help you sleep.
Gary has epilepsy. He's joining us. What do you think, man?
Good morning. Penis balls.
Penis.
I am epileptic, and I've been seeing a neurologist for over 10 years, and we got to the bottom of it. Each time I was noticing that I had a seizure at night, I was always sick. I was taking like NyQuil, Tylenol PMs, and everything like that. And one day in my neurologist's office, she was finishing up with our consultation, and she said, remember, no NSAIDs. And I said, what is that? She says, anything that causes drowsiness, NyQuil, medications that cause sleep, anything like that, you cannot take because it will trigger a seizure.
Hmm. So you believe this guy?
So you think there's something to this then?
Yeah, he couldn't have been taking sleeping meds because it would have triggered a seizure, because I'm a perfect example of it, because I was doing it because I had colds and I was trying to get asleep or work. And each time that I was taking those things, they weren't regular seizures. They were just maybe once every couple of months. But each that time, I was sick and taking those items.
But you never attacked people or started chucking chocolate at them or anything like that, right?
No.
Right.
No. I have what's called the grand mal seizure. He could have been having like a focal seizure or something like that, but never where you get violent.
All right, yeah. Gary. Thanks, man.
I think it wasn't so much as epilepsy that was coming into play here. I think it was
just like real, real wasted first class
booze and sleeping pill combo.
Yep.
Sleeping pill combo, as we said, by itself would have been bad. But you had some booze onto that, just made it worse. A lawyer who sued for fart harassment.
Yes.
Has lost his day in court.
No.
Tariq Mohammed filed suit against the Crown Prosecution Service after a colleague asked him to stop farting in the room where they worked together. Mohammed says his ass was just the result of his heart medication.
Yes.
And the complaints against him were embarrassing and violated his dignity. The court found that asking someone to stop farting was not unreasonable, and the requests were made in the spirit of violating someone's dignity, especially since it wasn't common knowledge that he was on medication that made him fart. They say he contributed to the uncomfortable environment by overreacting to the request to stop farting. So he lost his day in court.
Okay. So the people that were forced to smell his farts won.
He sued for harassment.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
Technically, yes.
I guess.
Or the company.
Yeah.
Or the place he was with.
That's good for non-farters. That's a big win for non-farting
it is.
People.
It is a big,
you know?
Win.
Big win.
It is. It really, it could have went the other way, and then all asses could have been loose.
Ass rights.
You know?
It's fair to assume people shouldn't fart around you.
Yeah. That's big.
You should expect that at your workplace. You can have a fart-free work zone.
Yeah.
Everyone deserves that, I think.
That's what the courts think.
What? Heart medication that causes gas. Let me see if this is a thing.
Well,
I've never heard of that. Excessive gas.
There's so many.
Wow, so many. Aspirin, antacids, diarrhea medicines, of course. Opioid pain medicines, fiber supplements and bulking agents, multivitamins and iron pills.
He could have been just taking an aspirin a day. Like, aspirin's on the list.
Aspirin causes farts.
Oh, my God. they don't tell you that.
No, they don't mention that at all.
Well, that's the number one, you know?
Give and take with everything.
Surprise, antacids are on there. Isn't that supposed to help?
Yeah, it's supposed to fight.
Well, but maybe they force it out.
Mm. Yeah, I think they do kind of make you
and
burp.
Acids.
They make you burp. I don't know if they don't work it down the other way.
Yeah, maybe that would cause that then.
Oh, yeah, there's a big list of drugs that cause farts, like specifically.
What are the things that were like sulf? Things at the bottom.
like sulfur isn't like that would cause a stinky fart, I think.
I think that's just the name of the drug.
Oh, I know, but usually it means it's what's in it.
If you have a coworker that's farting nonstop, good to know you can complain about them and not be sued. What did two cops do instead of responding to a 911 call? Well, two LAPD officers who were fired from their jobs in 2017 for looking for a Snorlax in Pokemon Go instead of responding to a call.
How rare is a Snorlax, though?
Snorlax?
Yeah.
They've had their appeal for reinstatement denied by a California judge.
Oh, that sucks. You're both just huge nerds. And you get to drive around all day.
Yeah, but you ignored a call.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
That's what you're paid, getting paid to do.
I need you to do that.
You gotta hit those little balls faster.
The officer's squad car video cam showed the two officers, Louis Lozano and Eric Mitchell, ignoring a request for backup to play Pokemon Go.
I wonder how crazy the backup was. Officer down! Officer down!
Yeah.
We're playing now. It's a goddamn war zone out here!
Yeah, it's a Snorlock, though, or whatever. Turn that down. Someone else will lock.
Oh, no!
Yeah. Yeah, there's just the cries for help.
Yeah, I mean, just turn it down.
The pair were stationed right near a robbery in progress, and the responding officers put out a call for backup, but these two guys ignored the call and left the area. When asked later why they hadn't responded to the call, they said it was loud and they couldn't hear it.
Oh.
But then they checked the in-car recording system.
Yep.
And it revealed they did hear the call, but said, let's not go. Let's find that Snorlax.
Yeah, I just put up one of those. you can put up like a treat or something, and it draws everything in. And my kids used to play it, so like they probably spent some money and sat in a zone, and all the good stuff was coming towards them. So they were like, no, man, we can't leave.
An extensive review of the in-car video system revealed that shortly after leaving the scene, the two officers could be heard discussing Pokemon Go, including a Snorlax that had appeared and the best route to catch it.
Mm. How do we get the Snorlax?
They continued to discuss Pokemon Go for the next 20 minutes. When confronted, the officer said they were just talking about it.
Oh,
they weren't actually playing it. They tried to appeal on the grounds that the in-vehicle recordings were not meant to be used to monitor officers' conversations, but a judge ruled that premise was flawed and denied their appeal for reinstatement.
I just think how bad the backup scene got.
I know.
Oh, Jim, no go! Oh, he's bleeding out! I'm watching him die!
Yeah. I think there's like a...
So you're going to be fine, bud!
Like a scene in that movie Superbad where like Seth Rogen is a cop and they do the same thing. They're like in the middle of like shooting bottles or whatever and they turn down the radio and you can hear like, oh, I got his blood! And they just turn it down. Same thing. You can't do it.
No. You can't. Your buddies are requiring you to be their backup.
Right.
That's why they put the call out.
You also have to maybe figure out who the huge nerds are.
They can't be together.
Split them up.
They can't be together.
You got to split them up.
You and James could never be in a car together for many reasons, but that being one of them.
We'd have the buffest arms. We'd also have the greatest collection of Pokemon.
True.
The buffest arms.
Yeah. All we do is curls and collect Pokemon.
Well, curls or hand jobs.
Well, I was thinking hand jobs.
Yeah, that's what I mean by curls.
Oh, that kind of curl, yes. Yeah, the man
be
curl.
Some different
manly curl.
In-car video they'd have to watch.
Yeah.
You turn the camera off, right?
Someone said, in their defense, you don't come across Snorlax often.
Oh, yeah, I was just looking it up. It's very rare. It's a very rare Pokemon. So it they must have used all the incense and the lures.
That's what I mean.
Out.
See, they had all those lures set. Mm. A lot of stuff to walk away from.
We told you last week that a bunch of Canadians decided to get a chartered plane trip to Cancun.
Yes.
Right? And then tape got out.
Mm-hmm.
Some idiot posted on Instagram of everyone partying on the plane without masks and drinking and going nuts. So the company that let them use the plane, charter the plane, decided we're not going to let you fly home on our airline.
Right.
They canceled their return flight. They are still stuck in Cancun.
Could be worse.
Imagine. I mean, it could be worse. Yeah, you're in Cancun. Yeah. But I mean, like, you do have to get back to normal life.
Yeah.
being locked in your house. yeah, they're probably, yeah,
probably
kinda,
not in a hurry to go back.
They're not in a hurry to get back to Canada.
Well, some of them are. Some of them are tweeting out that they need help. They need to find a way back home. Because not everyone was cool with it. This guy, this party planner.
Yeah.
He has, it's a private club. He planned this all-inclusive seven-day New Year's party in Mexico. Hmm. One of the youngest passengers was 19, a first-time flyer. She said, I was expecting a relaxing week where I was going to be careful. Turns out this has turned out to be a very expensive trip. And I still don't know when I'll be able to get home.
Well, that's it. That's the price of it, to stay there.
Yeah.
You're basically living there now.
You're moving to Mexico. Sunwing stated that they were canceling group's return flight to Canada. And once the other Canadian airlines found out about it, they followed suit. They issued statements saying they would refuse return
tickets. Oh, my God, no.
To all the dozens of people associated with the group from flying back.
Well, that's what sucks. It's all of Canada's gotten behind just making these people stay there.
That's it. According to Transport Canada, any passengers that violated the Aeronautics Act for acting in an unruly or dangerous behavior could face a fine up to $100,000 and or 5 years in prison. They're launching an investigation.
Wow.
27 of the 130 passengers are facing hefty fines already.
Oh my gosh, this is the worst trip.
They should have known, though, like, Canada is not afraid to fine you. They are not afraid to levy a gigantic fine against you.
30 people on that flight have contracted COVID so far.
Oh, yeah. We'll never get back into Canada.
No.
Forget it.
And they have yet to find a way to get back. They're trying to see if they can connect through the U.S.
That's what they're going to say.
They have to find words out. Their names, they have the names of everyone that was
on
that.
What, the U.S. won't let them come here either?
Well, no, the airlines are saying no. Oh, we don't want you on our planes.
I mean, what are they going to have to do? They're going to have to go like coyote style? They're going to be in the back
of the border.
Get cars, you know, drive.
Jump imagine, the border.
Imagine they're going to have to climb Trump's fence. How parts? Are you going to do that?
Get your ass in the old submarine.
Canadians trying to cross the border.
How's she going, Eddie? We just need to get home, man.
It's been a pretty crazy since all the Canadians have showed up. They're trying to hop the fence with us. They're taking up all the spots.
Get some help from El Chapo.
Yeah. Yeah. Get in the submarine.
What if you were just on that plane and you weren't participating in the part? Everybody was in the
vault. Yeah, it was a charter. Yeah. So it was only people involved with this group that were on the plane. Yeah,
if you weren't just like sitting there and everybody was partying around you.
You know there were people just sitting there.
And you were trying to be like, you know, do the right thing. And then now you're grouped in with this whole thing. I don't know if that was even the case, but
I would be desperately trying to find a video that proved that I was just sitting there.
Look,
I know, because I don't want $100,000 fine
and up to 5 years in jail.
Nope, I don't want that.
It's a weird time.
I mean, listen,
I get it. It's not cool for some people, but you have some drinks on a plane and dance around on a chartered plane that you paid for. You bought the whole flight out.
Does it seem like an overreaction?
Yes, it does for sure. You know, like, let the people home for
like,
nonsense.
By Canada, yes, but they're overreacting with everything right now.
They are. Yes, they are.
Let the people go home.
But the airlines won't even let them come into the U.S.
No, I know. That's what I don't understand. Like, I can't believe there isn't, like, go fly to Florida. Florida will let you in.
Sure.
Fly to Florida and then rent a car.
But it's not Florida. It's apparently the airlines that are saying, no, you can't. You've been on these people put you on a no-fly list.
Spirit won't let them on.
Oh, God. Spirit let anyone on.
Well, Spirit's.
Spirit, please. Can you get me home?
Spirit flies to Cancun.
They're canceling.
Could you imagine
flights?
Having to say that?
No. No, please, come
they probably have had offers from Spirit, and they're like, no.
Never mind. Yeah, we'll stay in Mexico.
No, we're good.
Yeah, they didn't kill people. No. They chartered a plane and they had a party. Irresponsible during COVID, I guess. But just let them come back to their damn home, and then make them quarantine or whatever you want to do when they get
quarantine,
back.
Fine.
You
oh my gosh,
whatever
all the
Canadian rules are. But up until then, let them come home.
How do you just leave people somewhere?
I don't know.
People
That's
have jobs.
Awful.
It is crazy. Getting stranded somewhere.
You know, you don't expect to go on a vacation and be stuck in that place for a month.
Who would have thought we'd have to save Canadians from
from Cancun?
Let them free. Yeah. Let them free.
Oh, how she gone? But then, like, there's probably all of Canada hates these people. I bet almost all of Canada. Bet they hate them.
Man.
Come on.
Like, partiers. Screw you for wanting to party after being locked up for 2 years, eh? Hope you die from COVID. Screw you.
Come on, it's nuts.
Yeah.
And they're coming from Quebec, which is in a complete lockdown state right now, right?
I didn't realize it was Quebec.
They have a curfew in place.
Is that the place where the dog walking was? You can't walk your dog? Somebody tagged me in that.
That was it. They then changed it.
Oh, they did? Okay. Yes.
They said at first you can't even walk your dog after 10 p.m. But then they realized this is ridiculous.
Yeah, that is. See, there's a lot of this going on over there.
Oh, my gosh.
But they're not, you know, trying to get out of Afghanistan. They're trying just to get back to Canada.
No, what are they going to do? They're going to have to, like, take a cruise. I mean, they're going to have to jump on a cruise.
Or charter a bus.
A bus?
Oh, well, you can't. That's how you die. You can't take a Mexican bus.
If no airline is going to let you out, like, your other option is land, right?
That's your only. Well, that or the sea. And I don't know about the sea.
You
got to
drive through Mexico?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's the scary. Second. Yeah. There's no way.
Leave the resort and forget it.
But we're going on 2 weeks now, and they still can't get out.
Yeah.
Like, I got to get back to life. I have responsibilities.
How are they paying to stay there?
They're just being charged.
You got to keep paying for that room you need.
Yeah.
Maybe you go to a cheaper one.
Probably the same place that me and my buddies went to the first time.
The place that the airline that bumped us tried to put us up, where the door came off in my hand.
Exactly. There's plenty of places you can stay for cheap.
Their whole life has changed because of this trip. They're going to be in debt, and all of Canada hates them.
Yeah. They're on, like, no-fly list for the rest of their life.
They're banned from every Tim Hortons.
Yeah. No double for you, eh? That's next. Oh, hold on, Elvis gave you those. Were you the one of those Cancuners? Get out of here, eh? Get out of here. Buzz off, hoser.
Couldn't even get a double-double today.
Of course you can't, Cancuner!
I've got to leave Canada.
What they should do is just try to contact other Canadians and have those Canadians fly in with a plane ticket somehow. I don't know. There would be a million Canadians that would trade life with these people right now. I know a lot of Canadians that would trade life for a little bit of freedom. Yeah.
Freedom, yeah.
And so... But they're still, if you're banned from the airlines, you're not going anywhere.
No, that's it. They have all their names. That's why they can't book individually or anything because
to get so new crazy. Identities.
How we get
your
that
name,
in Mexico?
Mason, we change you. You are Canadian. But you look a little different.
Give them disguises.
Yeah.
New ID.
Mexican getaway leads to a whole new life.
Yep.
But you got to just come across. You got to just drive across the border somehow. You got to figure it out. Come on.
Where? How?
Where's the closest
border from Cancun?
Can I tell you, how dangerous do you think the bus trip is?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You'll never survive
that. To the border town that you have to cross into the United States.
No.
I mean.
You'll not. No way.
And you have to.
Look at that.
It's only a 63-hour trip.
Oh, my God.
Only 63 hours.
Look at how.
Like, okay, so at what point do you think the whole bus is shot and killed?
Well, you got to go through a large part of Mexico.
Oh, it's much further.
Oh, maybe they could get on a cruise.
That's what I said.
You can't get on in Cancun.
I don't think.
No, you're the expert. I don't know.
No, you start in the U.S. and then you hop on.
I don't know how.
Their best bet is to work their way up with the cartel.
Yes, exactly.
Like start small, smuggle something here and there, and then work
that's
your way
up. That's what I like for my 1 week trip to Mexico. I'm now a drug smuggler.
Yeah, they're probably like getting a knock on the door. Like, hello. Yeah. So, listen, you guys want to get home? We got a great way for you to get home.
Got a yacht.
You just have to put this in your butt.
They need a boat. They do.
They need something.
Swim across to Florida.
Because it's closer with the water. You can't drive.
Build a raft like the Cubans used to.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
No.
What a life they have now.
I know. Someone said, as a fellow female, Lisa, what about... How did you pack for this?
I didn't even think about that.
No. You have to find a Mexican laundromat,
right?
Oh, my
gosh. Yeah, you have to do laundry.
Yeah. It would be kind of funny to see people going through their clothes because, you know, they had to bring like dressy clothes. So then just on certain days, like on certain random, it's a Thursday afternoon, but you're like dressed to the nines because it's the only thing that's clean. You're like, oh, well.
Since they're so, like, Canadians are so nice, they're like, we're looking for the Sinaloa cartel.
Or they could help. Or I'm just staying and running the jet ski sand.
Oh,
right?
That's it.
How's she going, eh?
Oh, yeah, $100 a day.
For an hour or two.
Yeah.
You have to get a job.
Dave selling street meat.
How's she going?
I'm not sure what exactly it is, eh? Yeah. But it's meat of some kind, eh?
Yeah. You want a meat burger?
Yeah, man. No one is helping these people from Quebec.
Do we have any names on them or who they are? Are they on social media? Are they
well, at least that one person
their trip,
that
their struggles?
It comes right up. It comes right up.
Canadian influencers.
Oh, did they get to go home? Party mess. They now stranded. No, stranded.
No, they're still.
They call it a slap in the face to other Canadians.
Slap in the face,
eh? The Prime Minister has spoken out.
So this is what I'm saying. Like, there is a group of Canadians, a large group of Canadians that hate these people.
Because they
partied. The Prime Minister is against them. We hope they die,
Look,
eh?
Here's the other Canadian airline. We are aware of the situation regarding disruptive passengers who have traveled to Cancun and are now attempting to return to Canada on our flights. We confirm they will be denied boarding based on our legal and regulatory obligations to ensure the safety of both our passengers and crew, which is our top priority.
Don't you just say, we understand that you were a problem. If you do anything on our flight on the way home, it's like six times the penalty.
Is this the guy that... Mike guy?
Oh, no, man. he's just copied this guy's like TikTok or something.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out who the influencers are. If we think we should, I want to judge if they should stay or...
I'm a huge Canadian travel influencer, eh?
Or let them come back in. Because if we see them, we may change our minds. Be like, nah, just leave them
there. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But at the end of the day, though, you still deserve the right to return to your own country.
I absolutely agree.
Come on, no matter if you had a couple of drinks and partied on a plane, you should be allowed to go home.
You're like, you can return, eh? You just got to find your own way. Good luck.
And no one will let them.
No.
And that's it. They've all kind of banded against them. Because they probably said to all those airlines, which, by the way, the Canadian government funded through this whole ordeal,
yeah.
Hey, you don't let them on, eh?
They own them.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm sure that's how it worked. Coming up, those Fugan Italians. How was a mafia member done in by Google Maps? Let's find out.
Those Fugan Italians.
Convicted mobster, Giacchino Gamino. He's been on the run as one of Italy's most wanted gangsters after he escaped from jail in 2002.
Oh, wow.
That all just ended, though, when cops were able to ID his location with Google Maps. A screenshot showed two men chatting outside a fruit and veggie shop. One of them they recognized as Gamino.
Here's the picture. Hey, there's Gamino.
That's him. Once Gamino. His location was confirmed, the cops showed up and slapped on the cuffs.
Wow.
His first question was, how did you find me?
Yeah, because he has to find out whether or not he has to kill the guy at the fruit stand.
He says, I haven't even called my family in 10 years. How is this possible? Google Maps. We put this up at DaveAndChuckTheFreak.com if you want to go check out the picture.
I'd be very nervous if I was the other person in the fruit stand.
I would too.
Yeah.
I would too. But it's not. Someone was just on Google Maps and saw it.
Who are these people that just...
I don't know.
I think that spend hours and hours and hours on this Google
thing.
And they find the weirdest stuff.
It's not for me.
No. No. But okay. Then to be like, I think that might be the a gangster.
Can I tell you what I'm not
most
doing?
Wanted gangster.
So I'm just perusing. I don't know why I'm trying to find a place, and I'm like, click, 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 click. If I saw a gangster, I click right on past that.
Well, you're not a police officer.
So it was a cop that did
That's
this?
That's what they say.
Okay.
That's what they say.
Because if it's a random citizen, what are you thinking?
Yeah, that's insane behavior.
or someone reported it to the cops that they saw him on Google Maps.
I wouldn't even do that.
I wouldn't do that either.
I wouldn't even do that.
It's risky. Cop work, though.
It is.
Yeah.
But he's been on the run for 20 years. Just ended.
Technology.
I guess cops are, they probably, it's probably a spot.
You know, probably. Like,
it's a fruit stand. It's a fruit stand.
You know where I bet they won't see the Google car anymore? Is that it?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, try driving Google car through
Drive
there.
It through you now.
Take you some pictures.
Yep.
Riddled with gunfire.
Thanks for checking out the Dave and Chuck the Freak Tasty Bits podcast. If you want to hear the entire Dave and Chuck the Freak show from today, subscribe and download the podcast now from the Apple Podcast app or the Google Play Store.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.